Praise the Lord. Message number 94. The title of the message, The Second Coming of Christ. Part 8, the Book of Revelation, chapter 14 to chapter 19. We'll continue in this message to speak about the events that will occur in the period of the tribulation, when the Lord would come and He will go down with His saints, and we who are still alive will be caught with them and meet the Lord in the sky, and we will be with the Lord forever. After that event, that tribulation will start on earth. During the period of tribulation, there will be God pouring His wrath on the people who left behind and on the wicked. But the Lord also will save those who will be willing to repent and renounce their sin. But most of those will be saved. They will be exposed to heavy persecution and prove their true faith in Christ by their willingness to be put to death. God will send His wrath during the period of tribulation, and devil also will magnify its work. And as we go move forward during the period of tribulation, the worse the events will occur. They suggest that the period of tribulation will last 7 years. And there is a clue about that in Book of Revelation chapter 11, how it had been calculated 7 years. In Book of Revelation chapter 11 and verse 2 and verse 3 say, but exclude the outer court, do not measure it, because it has been given to the Gentiles. They will trample on the holy city for 42 months, and I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1260 days, clothed in sackcloth. So here there's 3.5 years that the Gentile will trample the holy city Jerusalem, and God will, during this 3.5 years, God will give authority and power to His two witnesses. They will prophesy and testify about Christ for 3.5 years. In the book of Revelation chapter 12 and verse 6, figuratively speaking about the woman that will be persecuted, and that is the church. Speak here in verse 6, the woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1260 days. So here another 3.5 year. After the 3.5 year that the two witnesses would testify about God, 3.5 year, those who are willing to suffer for Christ will be heavily persecuted. And during this second 3.5 years, as we read in Revelation chapter 13 verse 5, the beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies, and to exercise his authority for 42 months. This is during these second three and a half years. The beasts will rule and exercise authority. So, if we put these two periods together, the 3.5 years that the two witnesses will testify about God, and where the Gentile will trample on the holy city, plus the 3.5 years that there will be heavy persecution on those who will refuse to put the mark of the beast and refuse to submit themselves to the will of the beast. And during the second 3.5 years, the beast will rule. If we put these two periods together, 3.5 plus 3.5 years, we will find that we will have 7 years. And that's how some, they claim that the tribulation period will last 7 years. But what we can say that during the tribulation period, God will fulfill His purpose, whether it will be accomplished within 7 years or less than seven or more than seven, we don't know exactly, but we are sure that God's purpose will be fulfilled, and God will accomplish what He desires during the period of tribulation. The period of tribulation, it represents the last call of God for a human to repent and God saves. Once Christ will set up His feet on the earth and start the millennium reign on the earth, there is no more chance for people to be saved. So here, the period of tribulation, it represents the period that the Lord will send His wrath, and devil will magnify its work because his end is near. And also, the period of tribulation, it represents the last chance that God gives for the wicked to repent and receive Christ and get saved. We'll continue reading the book of Revelation covering the period of tribulation. We will read now chapter 14. In this chapter, we'll find that the Lord with His saved people. Then I looked, and there before me was the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with Him the 144,000 who had His name and His Father's name written on their forehead. And I hear a sound from heaven like the roar of the rushing waters, and like a loud peal of thunder. The sound I hear was like that of harpists playing their harps. Here the Lamb was on Mount Zion, that is the heavenly Zion. In verse 3, and they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures, and the elders, no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. This is represent the Old Testament saint and the New Testament saint, or it could represent also those who would be redeemed among the Jews. But he say here that those who had been redeemed from the earth, it does not mean that only 144,000 would be saved, but this number is a symbolic number to the Old Testament saint plus the New Testament saint, because 12 is the 12 tribes of Israel, 12 is the 12 apostles. So the 12 tribes of Israel, the Old Testament saint, and the 12 apostles are the New Testament saint, those who are dead in Christ, and we who are still alive. 12 by 12 is 144. And in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, speak about those among the Jews who will be given chance to repent and receive Christ during the period of tribulation. And he mentioned that from every tribe there are 12,000. 12,000 by 12 is 144,000. Verse 4, Revelation 14, for these are those who did not defile themselves with woman, for they kept themselves pure. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They were purchased from among men and offered as first fruits to God and the Lamb. So here we know that it is represent everyone who did not defile himself and fall into adultery or fall into the love of the world, because loving the world is also, it is also adultery. It is a spiritual adultery. And we know from verse 4 here that who will be saved and be with the Lord? Those who keep following the Lord wherever He goes. They keep themselves pure from corruption, from sin, from woman, from immorality, from worldliness, from hatred, from anger. So that is call for us to set apart our life unto Him, so that the blood of Jesus that had been shed for us will cleanse us, and we will be purchased for the Lord and to be offered to God as first fruits. Verse 5, no lie was found in their mouths, they are blameless. So here it shows us in which way God wants us to be when He will come to take us. Verse 6, then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. So God here, during the period of tribulation, He will intensify His endeavor to evangelize to the rest of the mankind to repent. He said in a loud voice, fear God and give Him glory, because the hour of His judgment has come. Worship Him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water. So here God is calling people to repent. A second angel followed and said, fallen, fallen is Babylon the great, which made all the nations drink the maddening wine of her adulteries. Babylon here is the worldliness, the wicked, those involved in sin, those involved in the way of Satan, those who are worshipping Satan because they delight to live in sin. A third angel, verse 9, followed them and said in a loud voice, if anyone worship the beast and his image and receive his mark on the forehead or on the hand, he too will drink of the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of His wrath. He will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb. So here there is a warning message that if they will not repent, God's wrath is coming. More wrath will be poured out on those who are not willing to repent toward the end of the period of tribulation. Verse 11, and the smoke of their torment rises forever and ever. There is no rest day or night for those who worship the beast and his image, or for anyone who receives the mark of his name. This calls for patience, endurance on the part of the saints who obey God's commandments and remain faithful to Jesus. So also in this message there is encouragement that God will punish the wicked, but you who continue to do good and keep yourself pure, continue to do the same, continue to be faithful, endure, because your redemption is near. Verse 13, then I hear a voice from heaven say, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, say the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for deeds will follow them. Verse 14, I looked, and there before me was a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was one like a son of the man, like a son of man, with a crown of gold on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Then another angel came out of the temple and called in a loud voice to him who was sitting on the cloud, take your sickle and reap, because the time to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So he who was seated on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was harvested. Another angel came out of the temple in heaven, and he too had a sharp sickle. Still another angel, who had charge of the fire, came from the altar and called in a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle, "Take your sharp sickle and gather the cluster of grapes from the earth's vine, because its grapes are ripe." The angel swung his sickle on the earth, gathered its grapes, and threw them into the great winepress of God's wrath. They were trampled in the winepress outside the city, and blood flowed out of the press, rising as high as the horses' bridles for a distance of 1,600 stadia. So here we see clearly how God will pour out his wrath. The more we go forward toward the end of the period of tribulation, toward the end, the worse God's wrath will be. Chapter 15, verse 1. I saw in heaven another great and marvelous sign, seven angels with the seven last plagues, last, because with them God's wrath is completed. And I saw what looked like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and standing beside the sea, those who had been victorious over the beast and his image and over the number of his name. They held harps given them by God and sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Then here we'll find also here a scene of the vision of heaven. The vision moving down on earth to show God's wrath, and go up to heaven to show those who are redeemed. What they sung: great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, kings of the ages. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. Verse 5. After this I looked, and in heaven the temple, that is the tabernacle of the testimony, was opened. Out of the temple came the seven angels with the seven plagues. Now here, after the songs, God sent his wrath on earth. They were dressed in clean, shining linen and wore golden sashes around their chest. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls filled with the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no one could enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. Chapter 16. Then I hear a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go, pour out the seven bowls of God's wrath on the earth." The first angel went and poured out his bowl on the land, and ugly and painful sores broke out on the people who had the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. The second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it turned into blood like that of a dead man, and every living thing in the sea died. The third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became of blood. Then I hear the angel in charge of the waters say, "You are just in these judgments, you who are and who were the Holy One, because you have so judged, for they have shed the blood of your saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink as they deserve." And I hear the altar respond, "Yes, Lord God Almighty, true and just are your judgment." So what is here? That God sent his punishment on those who worship the beast and those who persecuted his saints and his people. The fourth angel, verse 8, poured out his bowl on the sun, and the sun was given power to scorch people with fire. They were sealed by the intense heat, and they cursed the name of God who had control over these plagues, but they refused to repent on and glorify him. So here we can see clearly that the purpose of God sending his wrath, not only to punish, but to call people for repentance. People, instead of they repent, they curse God and refuse to repent. Verse 10, the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was plunged into darkness. Men gnawed their tongues in agony and cursed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, but they refused to repent of what they had done. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dry up to prepare the way for the kings from the east. Then I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs. They came out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. The dragon, or Satan, the beast, and the false prophet. These are the work of demon in the life of people, life of man. The beast and the false prophet is a human possessed by evil spirit demons. Here we find that there are three evil spirits. What they will do? They are spirits of demons performing miraculous signs, and they go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them for the battle on the great day of God Almighty. Now we find here that the beast is preparing and calling the kings and the generals and the mighty armies of the earth to fight against the Lord. Verse 15, behold, I come like a thief. That is the word of Jesus. Blessed is he who stays awake and keep his clothes with him, so that he may not go naked and be shamefully exposed. Verse 16, then they gathered the kings together to the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. Armageddon is the place near Jerusalem where the battle will start against the Lord and his army, and we are with him. And that is the battle of Armageddon. It will be at the end of the period of tribulation, where the Lord will go out and will fight the battle. He will win, and we are with him, and he will step, put his feet on the Mount Olive. Verse 17, the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and out of the temple came a loud voice from the throne saying, it is done. Then there came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a severe earthquake. No earthquake like it has ever occurred since man has been on earth. So tremendous was the quake. The great city split into three parts, and the cities of the nations collapsed. God remembered Babylon the Great and gave her the cup filled with the wine of the fury of his wrath. Every island fled away, and the mountains could not be found. From the sky, huge hailstones of about 100 pounds each fell upon men, and they cursed God on account of the plague of hell, because the plague was so terrible. Chapter 17. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and say to me, come, I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute who sits on many waters. With her the kings of the earth committed adultery, and the inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated with the wine of her adulteries. Then the angel carried me away in the spirit into a desert. There I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names and has 7 heads and 10 horns. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet and was glittering with gold, precious stones and pearls. She held a golden cup in her hand filled with abominable things and the filth of her adulteries. This title was written on her forehead: Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the abominations of the earth. We explain what is the meaning of Babylon, and here is more clear: is the wickedness and all the evil things that God mentioned in His word. Those people, they were doing, and they were part of the satanic work, part and parcel of the work of the beast, the false prophets, and the dragon Satan. I saw that the woman was drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of those who bore testimony of Jesus. When I saw her, I was greatly astonished. Then the angel said to me, "Why are you astonished? I will explain to you the mystery of the woman and of the beast," she writes, "which has the 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast which you saw once was, now is not, and will come up out of the abyss and go to his destruction." These are the work of demons, the demons that had been released from abyss, that God had put in chain. God allowed them to be released during the period of tribulation. They will work against God, they will work against the people, they will work against the saints, but they will go into finally to their destruction. The inhabitant of the earth, whose names have not been written on the book of the life from the creation of the world, would be astonished when they see the beast, because he once, now is not, and yet will come. Everyone will see that what they were following from satanic work activities, beast and false prophet, it will come to nothing, and they will be astonished to see the power of God and the Christ, and we are with him, will win the battle in the great day of God Almighty, and we will reign with the Lord 1,000 years, as we will read later on. Verse 9, this calls for a mind with wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 hills on which the woman sits. There are also 7 kings. 5 have fallen, one is, the other has not yet come. But when he does come, he must remain for a little while. The beast who once was and now is not is an 8th king. He belongs to the 7 and is going to his destruction. So here the beast is a man possessed by demons. These are the kings who are serving Satan, who are doing things against God. They will be punished. And we are here moving forward toward the end of the period of tribulation. The 10 horns you saw are 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but who for 1 hour will receive authority as king along with the beast. They have one purpose and will give their power and authority to the beast. They will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them, because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and with him will be his called chosen and faithful followers. Now clearly here the kings are the evildoers, the people who rule the earth, but they are loyal to Satan, to the beast, to the false prophet, and they will fight the King of kings, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are with him. We are called here, according to Book of Revelation chapter 17 verse 14, chosen and faithful followers. Verse 15, then the angel said to me, "The waters you saw where the prostitute sits are people, multitudes, nation, and languages. The beast and the 10 horns you saw will hate the prostitute. They would bring her to ruin and leave her naked. They would eat her flesh and burn her with fire, for God has put it into their hearts to accomplish his purpose by agreeing to give the beast their power to rule until God's word are fulfilled. The woman you saw is the great city that rules over the kings of the earth. So what we conclude here, even the work of devil, the work of the beast, is also under control and under permission of God. God allowed that so that he would test his saints. They will stand with him, or they will stand with Satan and the beast. Book of Revelation chapter 18. After this I saw another angel coming down from heaven. He had a great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. With a mighty voice he shouted, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a haunt for demons and a haunt for every evil spirit, a haunt for every unclean and detestable bird. For all the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries. The kings of the earth committed adultery with her, and the merchants of the earth grow rich from her excessive luxuries." Then I heard another voice from heaven say, "Come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues, for her sins are piled up to heaven, and God has remembered her crimes. Give back to her as she has given. Pay her back double for what she has done. Mix her a double portion from her own cup. Give her as much torture and grief as the glory and luxury she gave herself. In her heart she boasts, 'I sit as a queen, I am not a widow, and I will never mourn.' Therefore in one day her plagues will overtake her, death, mourning, and famine. She will be consumed by fire, for mighty is the Lord God who judges her." The Lord here is also calling for his people to come out. There is a call for repentance. Come out of her, my people. Still God, as he is sending his wrath against the beast, against Satan, against Babylon, the adulterers, the evildoer, God is still calling people to repent. Verse 9, "When the kings of the earth who committed adultery with her and shared her luxury see the smoke of her burning, they will weep and mourn over her. Terrified at her torment, they will stand far off and cry, 'Woe, woe, Greece city, O Babylon, city of power, in 1 hour your doom has come.'" Verse 11, "The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, because no one buys their cargoes anymore, cargoes of gold, silver, precious stone and pearls, fine linen, purple, silk and scarlet cloth, every sort of citron wood, and articles of every kind made of ivory, costly wood, bronze, iron and marble, cargoes of cinnamon and spice, of incense, myrrh and frankincense, of wine and olive oil, of fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and carriages, and bodies and souls of men. They will say, 'The fruit you longed for is gone from you. All your riches and splendor have vanished, never to be recovered. The merchants who sold these things and gained their wealth from her will stand far off, terrified at her torment. They will weep and mourn and cry out, 'Woe, woe, O great city, dressed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and glittering with gold, precious stones and pearls. In 1 hour such great wealth has been brought to ruin. Every sea captain and all who travel by ship, the sailors and all who earn their living from the sea will stand far off. When they see the smoke of her burning, they will exclaim, "Was there ever a city like this great city?" They will throw dust on their heads and with weeping and mourning cry out, "Woe, woe, O great city, where all who had ships on the sea became rich through her wealth. In 1 hour she has been brought to ruin. Rejoice over her, O heaven. Rejoice, saints and apostles and prophets. God has judged her for the way she treated you." Then a mighty angel picked up a boulder the size of a large millstone and threw it into the sea and said, "With such violence, the great city of Babylon will be thrown down, never to be found again." The music of harpists and musicians, flute players and trumpeters will never be heard in you again. No workman of any trade will ever be found in you again. The sound of a millstone will never be heard in you again. The light of a lamp will never shine in you again. The voice of bridegroom and the bride will never be heard in you again. Your merchants were the world's great men. By your magic spell, all the nations were led astray. In her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all who have been killed on the earth. Here we can see clearly that God had sent his wrath in full to punish the evildoers and to destroy the kingdom of the beast and of Satan. Book of Revelation, chapter 19. After this I hear what sound like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, "Hallelujah!" Now the scene moved now to heaven. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for the true and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants. And again they shouted, "Hallelujah!" The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. The 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worshiped God who was seated on the throne, and they cried, "Amen, hallelujah." We'll be in heaven watching what is going on earth and how God is sending his wrath against the kingdom of darkness and against those evildoers who stand with Satan. The 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worshiped God who was seated on the throne, and they cried, "Amen, hallelujah." Then a voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both small and great." Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of the rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder shouting, "Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reign. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready." Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stand for the righteous acts of the saints. Then the angel said to me, "Write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." And he added, "These are the true words of God." The wedding supper of the Lamb. Hear the Lord, and we are with him, will reward us. Everyone will be given his reward. The judgment of the believer is our reward from the Lord. The Lord will reward us, and that is our judgment. Every one of us who followed Christ will be rewarded according to the thing that he achieved for the Lord while we are on earth. Verse 10, at this I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. At the end of the tribulation period, where the whole number of the redeemed will be with the Lord and will be with the Lord will reward us. And here we find the wedding supper of the Lamb, the great celebration in heaven. The Lord will give us everyone his reward according to the way that we serve him on earth. Then after that event, as we will read verse 11 onward, the Lord will go down and we are with him preparing for the battle that the Lord will engage, and we are with him against the generals and against those who follower of Satan, the beast, and the false prophets. Verse 11 onward, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. The armies of heavens, we are following him, angels, and we are with them, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. That is mean it denotes to the millennium reign of Christ that will be on earth and will be with him ruling 1,000 years. He will rule with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has this name written, Kings of Kings and Lords and Lord of Lords. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 17, and I saw an angel standing in the sun, who cried in a loud voice to all the birds flying in midair. Angel calling the whole birds in the air, but he's telling them, come together, come gather together for the great supper of God. Verse 18, so that you may eat the flesh of kings, generals, and mighty men, of horses and the riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, small and great. Here, these are the people that will be killed in the battle of Armageddon. Kings, generals, mighty men, they will be slaughtered by the Lord, and we are with him. He called here the great supper of God. Then I saw, verse 19, then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against the rider on the horse and his army. But the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who had performed the miraculous sign on his behalf. With these signs he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. The Lord started the battle here by catching the two leaders, the beast and the false prophet. Both of them are men but possessed by demons who deceive the people. They caught and they've been thrown into the, they will be thrown into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, and that is the second death. Verse 21, the rest of them were killed with the sword that came out of the mouth of the rider on the horse, and all the bears gorged themselves on their flesh. Now here, the battle of Armageddon, as we had read it in this name in Book of Revelation chapter 16 verse 16, then they gathered the kings together to the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. The battle here finished, and the Lord win, and we are with him. We will read chapter 20, beginning of it. And I saw an angel coming down of heaven, having the key to the abyss, and holding in his hand a great chain. For what? Still we have Satan is not captured. He sees the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Satan also has been caught and bound. Where? He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. So what we find here, that the abyss, what we find here, that the beast and the false prophet had been captured and thrown into the burning sulfur. That is the second death, the lake of the burning sulfur. What is remaining here is Satan. Need to be caught. Otherwise, he will continue to deceive those who are remaining of the nations. So he will be caught and he will be locked into the abyss. Abyss is a special part in the hell where God locked the some angels who caused all the chaos during the period of the demons who caused all the chaos and the wickedness during the period that Noah was building the ark, and caused men to sin against God. He called them and he put them in abyss. Also here we find the abyss where God will put Satan in chain, and so that he will not allow him to deceive the nation who are remaining. Now here the Lord go down and we are with him. He fight the battle. Those who fight against him, they will be killed. But still there are people who belong to the nations on of the earth, they are alive. Once the Lord, he will put his feet on the earth, there is no more chance to be saved. They will enter the millennium reign of Christ in a earthly bodies. They will live like a human, and we will rule with the Lord over them. Verse 4, I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their forehead or their hands. They came to life and reign with Christ 1,000 years. This is the millennium reign of Christ. We will rule with the Lord, we will reign with the Lord over there for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. And blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, But they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with Him for 1,000 years. Now, we who are with the Lord, this is the first resurrection. When Lord will come, those who are dead in Christ will rise up, the saints will go down with Him, and we are still alive, will be caught with Lord and will be with the Lord in the air. In addition, those who will be saved during the period of tribulation, they will be also resurrected and be caught away with us, with the Lord. At the end of the period of tribulation, the battle of Armageddon, the Lord will engage in the battle. The beast and the false prophet and Satan, we had explained their end. Plus, those who will be killed among the wicked, they will be thrown into the eternal fire, into the hell. The hell is in the bottom of the earth. During the millennium reign of Christ, while we will be on earth ruling the remaining of the nation who enter the millennium with their earthly body, the wicked who are dead, they will still continue to be tormented in hell until the period of millennium ended. That we will discuss in the next message. But before we end up this message, I want to read from the book of Acts and from the book of Zechariah about the place that the Lord would put His feet on earth. When the Lord will come, He'll be on the earth. At the end of the period of tribulation, He will go down, and we are with Him. He will win the battle of Armageddon, and He will reign on the earth for 1,000 years, and we are with Him. In the book of Acts chapter 1, when the Lord ascended to heaven, His disciples, they were looking intently to heaven. As He went up, He disappeared among the cloud. Verse 9 onward, book of Acts chapter 1, verse 9 onward. Verse 9 to verse 12. After He said this, He was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid Him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as He was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen Him go into heaven. That's verse 11. They told Him, the way you saw Him, He went up to heaven, He will come down to earth in the same way. Verse 12, then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. So the Lord was taken from the mountain of Olives. In the book of Zechariah, there is prophecy about the second coming of Christ and where, when He will come, where He will step His feet. Book of Zechariah chapter 14. Verse 1 onward, verse 1 to verse 4. A day of the Lord is coming when your plunder will be divided among you. Verse 2, I will gather all the nations to Jerusalem to fight against it. The city will be captured, the horses ransacked, and the women raped. Half of the city will go into exile, but the rest of the people will not be taken from the city. Then the Lord, verse 3, then the Lord will go out and fight against those nations. That is the battle of Armageddon. As He fights in the day of a battle, on that day, verse 4, His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem, the place that the Lord Jesus Christ left His apostles. He will come again and stand on the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west, forming a great valley, with half of the mountain moving north and half moving south. Christ truly will come. He will take us. Period of tribulation will pass on earth. God will send His wrath to discipline and punish, but also to cause repentance to those who are willing to follow. At the end of the period of tribulation, the wedding supper of the Lamb will be held. So the Lord will reward us, will reward His people, reward us for our service and perseverance unto Him. After that, He will go down to fight the kingdom of darkness, the battle of Armageddon, the great supper of God, that at the conclusion of it, the beast and the false prophet will be thrown to the lake of the burning sulfur, the lake of the burning sulfur, that is the second death. Satan will be bound in abyss. The dead will be held 1,000 years in hell, tormented. The nation who enter the millennium, they will enter into the millennium by earthly bodies. There is no salvation. And we who are with the Lord will rule with the Lord over the nation 1,000 years on earth with our glorified bodies. Christ truly will come and step His feet on Mount Olive, where He left earth. He will come back, and we are with Him, and stand on the place, same place that He had left from the earth. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your word that You put in the Bible so that we can read and encourage. As You say, encourage one another with this word, so that our hope and trust in You is sure, knowing, Lord, that our labor in You is not in vain. Now we know clearly now that we don't need to be tempted. We need to stand firm and say no to Satan, no to sin, because truly You will punish the evildoer, and truly will reward us as we continue to serve You and stand firm in faith. Lord, I pray that everyone who received the message will be convicted to repent and follow You. And Lord, raise up many people who will put their hope and trust in You fully. And Lord, take this message and make us spread and reach the people who are in need to listen to this word and who are waiting to hear the message. We thank You and we bless You. The purpose of sending this message, I pray, shall be fulfilled, and You will reap the harvest in the life of Your church and Your people. Lord, bless us, enlarge our territory, let Your hand be with us, and keep us from harm so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, in Christ's name. Amen and amen.